to order for the first meeting on Wednesday, February 13th, 5:30 p.m. here at the Village Hall. Number one on the agenda is to modify and or adopt the agenda. Motion to that effect?
Move to approve.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Proceed as presented. Next, you'll find minutes from the previous meeting, January 9th. You can look at those. Any comments or corrections? If not, a motion to approve as presented would be accepted.
Make a motion to approve as presented.
Second? Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Moving on to public appearances.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm former co-chairman of the Bike Ped Committee. But just two questions. One on the West St. Joseph Street reconstruction. I was wondering why it got upgraded from a resurfacing to a complete reconstruction of the sewer and water mains. Because for years it had been just a resurfacing. So that was the one question that I had. And then also, I'd like to see in the capital improvement plans the needed infrastructure for the new projects that are going to be going on the Central River portion of the TID district, or the Central River district between Elway Avenue and West St. Joseph. So there's four possible projects that are in various stages of planning, and I was wondering if those are going to need more infrastructure, or if the existing infrastructure is satisfactory for what they want to do, putting in apartments and offices and that kind of thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to new business discussion, action 825 Ontonagon Court, dispute bulk waste fee. Sean?
Yeah, we had, it's our policy to bill property owners when they put out bulk in excess of 2 yards. We had billed a resident at 825 Ontonagon Court.
Mm-hmm.
He is disputing his bill. He had placed 6 cubic yards, and the code would allow for somebody to put out 2. When you put out additional bulk, you're charged $25 a yard. He was billed $100, and he had called Jim, the street foreman, and had disputed the fee, and he was going to be here tonight to, I guess, dispute it. He's
discuss
not here.
It?
Discuss it.
What's the person's name?
I don't have that.
Okay.
No, I have his address, but I don't have his name. I think, in my opinion, our code is clear. We allow the resident to put out 2 cubic yards. If they put out in excess of two cubic yards, they are charged $25 per additional cubic yard.
I don't recall any history of any problem with that. Is there been? Anybody
no.
else remember? You're talking 6x6x6, right up in the houses, right?
3x3x6. If it doesn't fit in the front end loader bucket, then they're typically charged extra.
Was there any extenuating, like a fire, or how come there's so much junk?
I don't think so. He had a lot of stuff he brought to the curb. He had told Jim, street foreman, that he hadn't gotten billed in the past for additional bulk in excess of 2 yards. And I said, well, we're not going to back charge him.
Here's the good news, eh?
But it would be my recommendation that we don't provide an exception. We follow the code and then pay his bill.
And I think that's consistent with our neighbors and our past practices, unless somebody feels strongly differently.
The other option you could do is
get a dumpster.
If you run into that kind of situation, just pick up 2 cubic yards worth and leave the rest.
We'd have to change the code.
Yeah.
I think they did do something like that in the remote past, but then the problem was it stayed out there, and then it was a problem getting the homeowner to take it back. Yeah. And I can tell you from having a dumpster for several months and several dumpings of the dumpster, our rate's highly competitive.
I was going to say,
so it's not like they're excessive charges at all.
No, it's not. It's not.
Yep. Right. Leaving some there, you wouldn't know if the person actually does want to pay for it.
Exactly.
Or if they don't,
then
right?
We're coming back. We're making an extra trip.
And the idea is stay on schedule
exactly.
for the routes.
Yeah.
All right. Do we need a motion on that action?
I would maintain to keep the charges.
Status quo, whatever. Okay. We have a motion. Second?
Second.
Any further discussion on that? Questions? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Item number 5, discussion action, acceptance of the Bethel Baptist Pond stormwater grant.
Yes, this winter, actually in December, we were notified by the DNR that the village will be receiving a DNR stormwater grant for the construction and engineering of the Bethel Baptist Pond. The state will reimburse the village up to 65.5% of the eligible costs. Those costs, again, are engineering and construction with maximum not to exceed dollar amounts of, let me move this down, $118,050 for construction, $16,950 for engineering, for a total maximum grant amount of $135,000. We have put together a construction cost estimate that includes engineering. The anticipated cost for this project is $400,000, and the village's cost would be approximately $265,000 with the $135,000 from the DNR. This basin will serve a 96-acre watershed. It will store and treat the stormwater from a fairly large residential area. It will improve the water quality in the East River, and it will help us meet the stormwater requirements.
So this is new?
I believe we've been working on this. The news is that we've gotten the grant. That is new, but I believe we've been working on this for some time.
The pond will be new?
It will be brand new, yeah.
Right across from you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. I'll shed right in there.
Same here.
You get a boat, no? Yeah, and as part of the long-range plan, the location of these around the village, so
right.
Good job on the grant writing, by the way.
I can't take credit for that. That was Craig.
Oh, that was good.
Yep.
Well, thanks to him.
I after reading that, I sent a letter or an email to Rob Cole's office, because he was just named to a committee about water quality.
Oh.
And attending the Clean Bay Backers thing back
it's not
in
easy
October.
To say.
People came up to me afterwards and started talking about the East River, and we went through this with the new water thing. Alloy's doing everything it's supposed to meet all of these limits, thresholds. It's my understanding that communities to our south are not, and I think as evidenced by the quality of the water. And while I want to meet our thresholds and do our part, it's not going to help the water quality, because the quality of the water is coming from, or the lack of quality is coming from the south.
Will there be pressure, whatever you want to call it, from the DNR and or the state if those thresholds are not met by those other?
Yes.
I know they're threats. I don't know if they'll...
Yeah.
Okay.
They have to meet those same limits for the watersheds that drain to the East River. They have the same, to my knowledge, they have the same TMDL requirements that they have to meet. So you're right, though. It's I don't know if it's so much the communities to the south. It's working with the farmer to implement soil conservation practices. And our hope was that we could encourage New Water to implement an adaptive management plan on the east side of the Fox River to start that process with the farmers on the east side.
Did we get any response to our letter?
No.
And we had several municipalities join us in that, right? Or did they not?
We had reached out to a number of communities, and I'm fairly positive I had shared the letter that we had prepared mm-hmm. with them. In the end, I don't know how they, if they had supported the plan proposed by New Water, or if they had, you know, had written a letter similar to the villages. I don't know for sure. Okay. New Water was looking for support for their plan, and we didn't exactly support it. We provided a letter. I don't know that the DNR yet has approved their plan to meet the water quality limits. I haven't seen the report yet.
So and I may be taking this off track, but the area where the farms are, they belong to municipalities who have TMDL requirements, right?
You're right. There could be some farms located within the communities to the south. Right?
And going forward, you know, I think Al is to be commended for doing what we've been doing. And I think the change in direction from Madison is certainly not going to make this go away. You know, I think it may get more strict or whatever, or at least get more enforced. So.
Yeah, we're required to meet the DNR requirements for water quality, and this will get us one step closer.
So our action is simply at this point to accept the grant, knowing that we're going to go forward with the project.
Correct.
Motion to that effect?
So moved.
A second.
Second.
Any more discussion?
So does this project count towards our reduction of the TMDL?
Overall, yes, it will.
Because we have to do different certain things to...
Okay. It will. It will meet the standards set in place for the East River TMDL, and I believe it will also help us meet the TMDL requirements for the Fox River.
So we don't have to add more, or we do?
We will, yeah. Well, this is one step in that process, yeah.
All right, anything else?
Can I just say something?
Motion to suspend the rules.
And second.
Sure.
I'd like to see the committee support what's going on over on the west side and have them enforce do something of the same caliber on the east side. Because what they're doing is great. They've expanded theirs to have a template. And we'd like to see that template moved over to this side of the river.
This side of the Fox River?
This side of the Fox River.
Completely
good
agree.
Good job over there, and we'd like to see them do a good job over here.
New Water, you mean? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Thank you.
Motion. We never voted anyway, so I guess the rules weren't suspended. So.
All right. We'll put the rules back in place. All right. All in favor of accepting the grant, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? All right. Item number 6, discussion action review 2019 street repair project limits.
I have prepared a map that would show the streets and the limits that would be repaired under this year's street maintenance project. We have budgeted $500,000 for the maintenance project. This is somewhat of a challenge because we've got a number of streets that need maintenance, which should make it easier to pick the streets. But we're limited to the $500,000. We are proposing three streets to be repaired this year under the repair project. We're committed to repairing Warren Court from Riverside Drive to Ducharme. Did you get one? Sorry. We're also proposing to repair Woodrow and Brookridge Street from Alloway Ave to Libel Street. And we're proposing to overlay, Millen overlay, Beaupré from Webster to Libel Street. Warren Court and Woodrow and Brooker Street would be pulverized and overlaid. Should I take that? Warren Court will be almost a complete reclamation. We're going to come in and reconstruct that street. Curb and gutter, because we had gone in and put in water main a fall of last year. We will come in and pulverize and overlay Woodrow, Brooker Street, and we would mill and pave or resurface Beaupré from Webster to Libel Street. I do want to point out this needs to be a flexible program. We're going to need to make adjustments after we bid the project. Hopefully the bids come in lower than expected so that we can expand the repair limits. If they come in over, we may have to reduce the scope. Or there may be a village need after this spring, after we go out and rate the roadways, that we have to bump a roadway and add a different street for whatever reason. We have $500,000 and we're going to use all of it to repair our streets.
Is Beaupré supposed to be on here?
Yes. We had, just today, we had changed what we had thought we were going to repair a couple days ago.
So would you say Arbor or Stanton comes off?
Yes, Arbor, unfortunately, Arbor and Stanton, they would come off. We've bumped those back to 2020 and 2021. Dauphin and Garland would get put off as well. We do need to update the long-range CIP plan. That is just a guide. But we'll do that after the page are ready. We'll bring that back and go through those changes.
Sean, do you like what you did on St. Mary's? Do you think that'll... Are you guys happy with what happened there?
Yeah, I know I haven't driven it lately, but I had driven the project shortly after we put that we call it a wedge, placed that wedge, and our hope was to get 2 years out of that, so that in 2021 that we could reconstruct the street.
Okay.
That's rapidly getting closer. All right, any other questions on that? Street repair limits. Accept the motion at this point.
Move to approve.
And do we have a second?
Second.
Any other questions? All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All right. All opposed? Motion carried. Number 7, discussion action preliminary resolution on levy special assessment.
So village code allows us to special assess for the installation of new laterals, storm, sewer, and water laterals. We will be reconstructing a number of streets this year under a street and utility reconstruct project. We do need to install new storm laterals on Longview, on Oakwood Avenue, and on Martha Avenue. We will be installing new water and sewer laterals on Martha to serve the new development, the residential lots at the end of the street. The first step in this process is to take this information to the Public Works Committee to review the preliminary special assessment to levy or preliminary resolution to levy special assessment to lay out a date for the public hearing. We had met about a week ago to look at the dates to keep this project on schedule. We had identified March 5th as being the date for the public hearing. With the village board's approval or adoption of the resolution on Tuesday, we can then send out a letter to the property owners. And included in that letter will be the preliminary resolution, the notice of public hearing, and the engineering report. After we've adopted the resolution on Tuesday, next week Tuesday, Debbie will put on file the engineering report for people to come in to take a look at. And she will send an ad to the paper to begin to advertise for the public hearing on the 5th. We will be holding a public informational meeting on the 28th to go over the project, all of the projects, and to talk about the special assessments. We're hopeful that we'll have a lot of people that will come to the meeting, and we'll give it a chance to answer the questions to minimize the number of questions that we might have at the public hearing scheduled for the 5th of March.
So Monday the 28th here?
Yep.
So this lateral section is from the main to the property line?
Yes. Okay. Yep. Residents are not charged for the removal and replacement of an existing lateral.
Okay.
They're only special assessed when we install a new lateral.
So on, let's see,
but on private property?
No, in the street right away.
And then we've got the program, though, where if the homeowner needs it from our stop to their house, they usually get better rates if they go with it at the same time, mm-hmm. and then we offer them finance. And so you'll cover all of that at that meeting as well.
Yes, that is a voluntary program that
people love it.
We usually get, well, I've been told we get about 50-60% of the people that will take advantage of that program.
And the people who do have liked it, the feedback I've had over the years, so...
And that's just for the replacement of the private side sanitary sewer lateral. We're encouraging people to do that to reduce the amount of INI that gets into our sanitary sewer, that flows into our sanitary sewer and anywhere interceptor and treat it at the sewage treatment plant.
And obviously not all the houses are listed here on all the streets.
No, again, it's just for the installation of a new lateral, one that didn't exist before. Oh. This is primarily for storm laterals. There are a few streets out there yet that we haven't yet extended a storm lateral from the main to the property line for one to hook up to.
Martha, I know that was a discussion there, Mr. Gelb.
Yep.
I know he was in favor of it.
In that particular case, we are extending new laterals to three properties.
Okay.
In addition to that, there was a resident that had asked for storm laterals, that a storm lateral be extended to his property because he didn't have one before. Because we have to extend the storm sewer down to the end of the block to serve the new residential lots, mm-hmm. we now can provide him a lateral, but he'll be special assessed for that.
Okay.
Are we open to questions?
I don't know. Just
go ahead.
As a realtor, the Duane sale clause is no longer in effect for connecting to the storm sewers, so this might be an appropriate time to address that issue. So it's not, it used to be required to only connect when your house was sold, but that's not legal anymore. So when you reconstruct the street, is a legitimate time to require that connection.
All righty. Any other questions or concerns?
Move to approve as presented.
All right, a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Item number 8, discussion action, special assessment financing.
At the end of the project, after we've gone out and made the actual measurements and put together the cost, the property owner will receive the special assessment. and we give them two options. One, they can make full payment within 30 days, or they can, if they don't make full payment within 30 days, we do offer a 5-year installment payment plan. And in the past, I think at some point, the interest rate that was applied to the financing was 12, and then just recently it had been 3%, and now we're looking to recoup all, well, to make sure that we recoup our expenses. So we met and we discussed that the finance rate should be whatever the village's borrowing rate is, plus 1%.
And you were, well, I'm sure you do know where that's at. So this year, would we, if people ask, we say, well, we think it would be about?
We think the borrowing is going to be about 3%.
Okay. So theirs would be 4.
Mm-hmm. And we would bump it a percent for?
To cover the village's administrative costs.
Okay. How much do we expect the laterals to run?
Storm laterals, they'll vary in cost by street. $1,500 plus or minus for storm laterals. Sewer and water. And Martha, I have the report here.
It's on these sheets.
A total of $3,200 to $4,200 for sewer and water, sanitary sewer and water laterals.
Okay.
So, for example, the property at the end of Martha Street. Their estimated assessment for one of them, this is lot one, would be $3,600 plus an additional $1,500 plus or minus for the storm.
Okay. And that's for the new, that's a new house.
Mm-hmm. I can get an exact cost.
Oh, that's okay.
They're looking at about $5,000.
Yep.
$5,000 to $6,000, which total?
But that's for three laterals, right?
Yeah, that is for three laterals.
And most people will have
one
storm.
One storm lateral, right?
Or if they're doing the private site sanitary, if you want.
And that's voluntary.
Mm-hmm. And new construction, fortunately or unfortunately, it goes on the house. It's going to cost this now. You know, it's part of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any more discussion on the financing options? Move to approve.
I think second.
Oh, yeah, I guess need a recommendation that.
The current borrowing rate plus 1%?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does that fit with your motion?
I guess. I don't know that we want to see current or. Current.
Whatever the village law is.
Yeah.
The existing? No, that. At the time of completion?
Whatever rate the village secures.
Yeah.
Does that work?
That would work.
That's the village borrowing rate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Plus the 1%.
Plus 1%.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll accept that amended motion with a second. I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Moving right along to number 9. Review of CBCWA and GBWU collaboration study. John, you're getting a lot of
screen
time here.
Yeah. the Green Bay Water Utility and Central Brown County Water Authority had hired Refitelis to help find ways to work together to cut costs and to better share resources. This process had started July of last year and will finish July of this year. There have been a number of stakeholder meetings that I have gone to, and some of the things that the two utilities are considering to work together to to collaborate to reduce cost would be to share billing customer services. There's a potential to save money there amongst the communities that are customers of both utilities. Cross-connection inspections. On a yearly basis, we inspect commercial and residential cross-connections. Leak detection we do on an annual basis. They had also identified possibilities for after-hours on-call dispatch, joint training, and joint standard operating procedures. So these are things that have been discussed that the two could possibly work on together to lower costs. We wanted to make everybody aware of this study, and there'll be more information that will come out in the future.
Is there any downside to that for us?
I wouldn't think so. Can't think of any.
It's got some potential for some really good things that they've talked about at the Water Authority, at least in the past when I've been at some of those meetings.
Any other questions for Sean on that topic? All right, moving on to discussion item number 10, 2019 Water Utility Maintenance Project.
This is just a discussion item. I just wanted to quickly, briefly go over some of the projects that we're going to be working on this year in the water department. One of our bigger tasks this summer will be to inspect and repair the water tower. There was, prior to 2015, there was some ice buildup in the water tower. As a result, there was damage done to the painter rail on the top. And the overflow weir pulled off the inside of the structure. When we did the inspection, they had also noticed that paint on the inside needed to be repaired. So we're going to be working on that project. We're going to go out we're going to hire a consultant, but we're going to put together a proposal. We're going to get two or three quotes and then get this started. Talked a lot about the street utility reconstruction project. Under that project, we'll be replacing water main and water services. We are right now currently creating a list of existing lead services that will be replaced under the project. There aren't very many. I was surprised. Most of our existing services are copper, but there are a handful of lead services out there. And after we've created the list, we'll get a letter out to those property owners to encourage them to remove and replace the private side water service. Every 5 years, the DNR requires that we inspect our storage facilities. This year, we're going to inspect all five storage facilities. And then, obviously, we can't do that all at once, so we'll stage that over the course of the year. Let's see here. Water main breaks. I'll be giving you an update on a fairly severe water main break that we just had recently on Blackhawk Drive. Cross connection. That is a monthly thing, a yearly thing that we do here in the village. Go out and inspect commercial and residential cross connections.
Here it says we're hiring HydroCorp to do that.
We have. Yep.
To do the
commercial cross connection inspections, yeah. And it's my understanding that we've used them for some time now. We recently reached out to see if they'd be open to a longer term contract, and they were. And as a result, we had agreed to a longer term, a 3-year term, and we were able to save $1,000 a year. On a longer-term contract, the cost per year is roughly $10,000. So, we were extremely pleased with their performance, and they've been a great resource to help us with the residential cross connection. So, We're going to continue to do that. On a yearly basis, we go out and survey our water main for leaks. We'll be doing that again. In years past, we've used that AECOM. We'll be putting together a proposal. We'll get two or three quotes on that project. We'll continue to do that until the cost of the report is more than the savings in the loss of water. So,
Do we verify results after the repairs are done?
Do.
So we actually see what they're estimating?
We don't verify. We go out and make the repair. Mm-hmm. They identify the leak, and then we go out and fix the pipe.
Is it? I assume it's probably too difficult to verify that the leak was of the magnitude that they said it was. You know what I mean? We had kind of calculated our cost savings by fixing certain leaks. I'm just wondering if there's any way to check that after the fact.
I think they've been tracking that. I remember Craig mentioning that several times, that a leak is detected in at your location, and it's leaking roughly 100,000 gallons a week, and that repair equates to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that may be one of those tasks that we jointly advertise or bid with another community. We're going to be looking into that. Clean and paint hydrants, yearly maintenance activity. We've budgeted $20,000 for this task. We will be hiring a contractor to take that on.
Can you say summer help do that? Is that different?
That's what I thought.
We have, but we, it's been indicated to me that the hydrants really need to be sandblasted to preserve the paint, to extend the life of that paint. So we feel we can get a better product with sandblast, with paint, and then we're not back out repainting that hydrant 2 years from now. And that's something I'll continue to gain more knowledge on, too. But yeah, there are some communities that just go out and paint. Have an intern go out and paint, but I don't believe that holds up very long.
So the water tower work, how long will it be drained for?
Roughly speaking, 4 to 5 weeks.
Do the water towers create water pressure, or no? That's all pumps.
That is a standpipe. Yeah.
So how can we be without it for that long?
We'll have to, may have to run our pumps a little bit more.
I'm just curious, are they heated?
No.
How does it not freeze? Just the quantity in the circulation?
Yeah, we do have a mixture in, mm-hmm. in the water tower, so that helps. Yeah. That was a concern about 3 weeks ago.
Really?
There were a few communities really concerned.
100 below zero.
We're a little bit different than, some of the communities that were really concerned were those that had that bulb. They have air all around their storage tank, where ours is built from the ground up, so that helps. Plus, we do have a mixer in it, so.
Mm-hmm.
And it had, well, we did get ice.
Ice damage?
For 2015.
World's largest snow cone now.
Well, that kind of weather, a huge tank of water sitting outside.
All right.
Is there an aspect of the on-call?
Oh, yeah, I missed that.
I think that
skipped over.
Yes, so as you all know, Mike Sleeman has retired, and Brad and I, Mike Malik, have met, and we've decided that as of right now, we're not going to replace Mike. Then we're going to operate with three guys. But to avoid having those three on call more than once a month, we're looking to hire somebody internally from either Public Works Department or from Parks or even front office to go on to be trained and to go on call. And we have identified four volunteer for interviews, or that have shown willingness to to have an interview, and we're going to start those interviews here in the near future.
Jim's looking for a job.
I'm not done.
All right.
Which one?
Cool.
Yeah. Excellent. I think that's about all that I had to share on this item. So are there any questions?
Could you elaborate on the consumer confidence report?
That is a DNR requirement. Every year we're required to put out a consumer confidence report. And it includes information on the quality of our water.
Okay.
And that's due in July.
Is that the written printed report?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Later.
Yeah.
After that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I recall
more details you want, probably. All right, John, anything else on that subject?
No.
Okay. Number 11 discussion, Blackhawk water main break.
The weekend of February 2nd, we have a messy break at Blackhawk. We had a water main break that unfortunately broke right next to dead-end sanitary sewer manhole, an older block manhole. And when the break occurred, the water from the break was able to get into the manhole, mainly between the structure and the casting. And with it, it brought a lot of mud and sediment. And the volume of water and the sediment exceeded the capacity of our sanitary sewer, and as a result, backed up into 5 or 6 homes. Because of the frost in the roadway, unfortunately, it was, you know, that it happened just after all that cold weather. Probably would have created a bigger mess if it would have been 30 below. But because of the frost in the roadway, the water didn't surface. Usually, it goes to the surface and comes out. It actually ran underneath the roadway, ran parallel until it got into our sanitary sewer. And with that, it undermined our street and created a number of sinkholes. We had to temporarily close the roadway because at first we couldn't identify all of them. And we had to hire a contractor, one to repair the water main, and then come back and remove some pavement because of the sinkholes that we noticed after the fact. So. This summer, we're going to need to repair that road, probably reconstruct that portion of the roadway. We're going to come up with a cost, and we're going to, you know, submit it to the village's insurance. But it was one of the worst water breaks that we've had in some time here.
So we have insurance for that kind of thing?
I don't know if they're going to cover it.
Most likely they'll deny, but try.
Okay. And how many feet of roadway?
From just east of Libel to the start of that first curve, so yeah, a couple hundred feet.
And any damage to the homes? Or the backup and then reseed or pump out? Or
We do have a couple pictures. It looked like somebody dropped a sandbox in their basement.
Mm.
Yeah. And how many homes were affected?
5 or 6.
So we're going to be getting some claims on that. We submitted to our insurance company just to start the claim number. Okay.
And we talked to the homeowners.
We had, you know, before we had left the site, we had made sure that we jetted the sanitary sewer and that the sewer was flowing. And then we went door to door and made sure that the residents could flush the toilets. And it wasn't backing up in the basement, so.
So is the cause just freezing, or does this happen to old lines more than new ones?
It was an old cast iron pipe, which is known for that, and it actually broke in 2 different locations.
So is it even freezing, or is it expansion contraction of cast?
I think it was a combination of things. It's hard to say. It's frost driven, but mm-hmm. we had that really cold weather, then it warmed up, and that ground moved a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Cast iron pipe is pretty brittle.
No, now with his nice snow cover. Positives.
Yeah.
It's probably about $100,000 to reconstruct this.
No, I need to come up with a cost estimate. I'm thinking to date we've spent $4,000 on the water main repair. We haven't gotten the bill for the temporary fix of the roadway, but I'm assuming that's going to be $1,000. I'm thinking that the street repair will be, this is just off the cuff, $15,000 to $20,000. We're gonna put together that number by the end of the week. And we've got a folder. We're keeping track of all of the invoices, and once we've received all of them, hand it off to Brad to submit to the village's insurance company.
Bit of a mess there coming down Live Oak. They're almost a block, huh? It seemed to have been cleaned up pretty quickly.
And you know, and that's another reason why the long-range CIP plan is a guide, because we're strongly going to have to take a look at the 2021 projects. I would think that Blackhawk may have just gotten moved up. Mm-hmm. Because from Libel to, that's
Greenwald.
That's all cast iron pipe. It's going to probably continue to break in the surface of the roadways in poor condition. So
that's an odd design. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks, Sean. And discussion item number 12, public fire protection charge.
Well, I'll do my best to kind of leave this discussion to Lisa and Sean and Debbie. Anyone else that wants to jump in? Kind of goes back to the first resolution that was passed was in 2011, that the board passed a resolution to take 50% of the fire protection charge that was on the levy and put it on the water bill. And from just brief recollection of why that took place back then, and we never moved forward with it at the time, it may have been in the process of PSC making changes. So we wanted to get the ball rolling, but we did not implement anything until 2015 when we did a rate case. And then the first change from the levy to the water bill took place in 2016. In the tune of $276,000 was taken from one and put into the other. The rate case was set up where it would be a three-phase process. 2016 was 50%, 2017 would be a quarter of the remaining, and then in 2018 would have been the final changeover from levy to water bills. In the course of 2016, that occurred. 2017, that occurred. 2018, it did not occur. We had budgeted that way, so there was in the water revenue would show the $138,000 that should have been collected, but it was not. Why, we don't know. How, and we haven't been able to determine what happened, other than we had a change in public works director, we had a change in finance director. The individual assigned to our rate case retired, and Public Service Commission didn't even have our 2018 rates on their website. So they were a key part to this. Where the ball got dropped, no one knows. But we just know that it was not done for 2018. And it was discovered just recently as we're going through kind of year-end aspects, and all of a sudden you see this deficit. Good news is the total water revenue was not minus $130,000. It was minus $32,000, I think, overall. But so Julie had reached out to Public Service Commission to see what we need to do. Virtually is what we're finding out is make it noted to the public that that's what's for 2019, they're doing this.
So we're changing 2018, making it 2019, we'll do the increase this year.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the questions could be asked is, well, what about the bill back? And quite honestly, I would think that's something we probably wouldn't even do, but that's just my opinion.
Consumer Affairs Division.
Consumer Affairs Division was going to get back to Julie on that particular item. But
so what you're saying is just start charging it this year and don't go back and try and collect
right.
And per property owner, so the property owner, being one obviously, did not get charged?
They didn't get charged that extra,
correct.
That last quarter.
Okay.
And that was like $1.80 or so per?
$1.75 or something like that.
$20 a house. A year.
Because it's a monthly charge.
So yeah, so for the last several days we've been trying to figure out why and how and we just don't know. We really don't know. I mean, you can go back through the minutes and you can find where everything was put into place, the hearing through Public Service Commission, all of it. Everything was there. And the last letter we had from Public Service was dated November, just stating that, you know, effective January 1, 2018, the final stage would take place, but it didn't.
And the final stage would be for how long?
It's
going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we can't, like, add on at the end. Let's just keep going.
We could go back and backfill depending on what the PSC tells us.
Right.
But
so that's kind of the determining point in their opinion. Or we can make a decision based on their opinion.
I think it
would be based
that.
On their opinion, yes, because they regulate water utilities, so we can't.
So the worst.
But if they told us to go back and bill back, we wouldn't have to.
We wouldn't have to. No.
Yeah, you know, we just wanted to, you know, it was. Mm-hmm. Discovered and wanted to make sure that that's out and noted that
it's better than overcharging.
Mm-hmm.
Better than overcharging.
And we are putting some reports in place so that we don't run into this situation again. We're going to put some stopgaps in there.
Okay.
Well, that's pretty much, you know, did I miss anything?
Good, bad, though.
What's that?
Good, bad, no leaks.
Yeah.
It's not pretty, but.
But the worst case scenario, if there were a chargeback, on average, it would be how much per household?
Like Jim said, probably about
$20. $20.
Yeah.
Our problem would be if the house had changed owners.
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
I can see that being an issue, and mm-hmm. at least my personal mm-hmm. preference is we don't have to go back and charge them. We just don't.
Yeah.
I can see that. That would be
messy.
Yeah.
And that's like Brad said, the revenues, some of the other revenues came in higher than the budget, mm-hmm. so.
So if we can offset it, yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
I do not think so.
Accept a motion. We don't need any action on that. That was just a discussion.
No.
Motion to adjourn. On a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Adjourn at 6:25.